Today, we're going to be talking about the word hallelujah. And hallelujah means, and basically it means this, praise the Lord. And so, you know how you do God is good all the time? All the time God is good? There you go. So now we're going to do hallelujah. You're going to say praise the Lord, and I'm going to say praise the Lord, and you're going to say hallelujah. Y'all got it? All right, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So hallelujah has become a Christmas word. And you'll find it in the Bible, but you'll find it in the Psalms, especially Psalms 150. It is the hallelujah Psalms. And you'll find it in Revelation, the actual word hallelujah. But the theme of hallelujah runs all the way through the Bible because we are supposed to praise the Lord. And so the theme of hallelujah is everywhere. So when you look at that point of view, then we should be saying hallelujah all the time. But it was Handel's Messiah, the hallelujah chorus, that actually made hallelujah more of a Christmas word. I think they said it is said 167 times in Handel's Messiah. It may be just in the hallelujah chorus, I don't know. But every time at Christmas time when I start hearing Handel's Messiah, the hallelujah chorus. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? It says hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, people. Y'all getting a theme going here, right? Y'all understand what we're going to be talking about. So we do have hallelujah moments in our lives. A couple months ago, I had a hallelujah moment. I was like, praise the Lord. And we were driving down the road, minding our own business, and this car pulled out in front of us. I slammed the brakes on, I turned the wheel, and we're sliding. She's still coming out. And I tell you, we got up to her. We got so close to her that it scraped the car. I left a little paint, and she took off, man. She was gone, right? She put out in front of me. But we stopped, you know. And I tell you, when I realized that, you know, we wasn't going to hit the car, I was going to praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That was a hallelujah moment, was it not? Y'all have all had those moments when somebody pulls out in front of you, somebody does something or something happens, or you go to the doctor and you get a good report instead of a bad report, or he tells you, you don't have to lose any weight, you're great. I go, hallelujah, hallelujah. So, hey, y'all get the same report I do. That's amazing. So when you look at it from that point of view, we do have hallelujah moments. And I'm not downgrading hallelujah moments. So they're wonderful. But first, let's talk about this. We should be praising God at all times, every moment of every day of our entire life. And you don't have to look far in the Bible to realize that. All you have to do is the first book, the first chapter, and the first verse, Genesis 1:1. And it says, in the beginning, God created. Hallelujah. Because if he didn't create, you would not be here. He created everything, everything it has been, everything it will be, everything that you can see and that includes you and me, right? So we should get up every morning praising the Lord just because we are. Makes sense to me, right? But sometimes it takes those hallelujah moments to remind us that we should be thankful. You know, it takes those events, those things in our lives that make us stop and go, hallelujah. I know when my wife said yes, hallelujah. It could have went the other way, people, let me tell you. With the birth of both of my boys, Taylor and Carrington, hallelujah. I mean, healthy little baby boys. And just another note, my oldest son will be having a boy, by the way. So we're keeping that trend going. I don't know if that's good or bad, but it's cheaper. If y'all have little girls, you know what I mean. I got two older sisters, hallelujah, praise the Lord. They were crazy. And my mom and dad had a bunch of hallelujah moments with them. And not saying they didn't with me. But it takes those hallelujah moments to really get us in focus sometimes. So today we're going to be focusing in on the book of Daniel. It's going to be chapter 1 all the way through chapter 6. And I will not be reading all that. Hallelujah? Hallelujah. You don't have to turn to it. It's in the book of Daniel. I really expect and hope that all of you do not take the word of a preacher at face value, okay? I do expect and hope that you actually read the Bible. that. If I say it's in the book of Daniel, chapter 1 through 6, I hope you get your Bible out either now or later, and you read and go, wow, it is in the Bible, you know? If I tell you about a talking donkey, you know, you don't have to believe me. Go look in your Bible and find it. If I tell you about something, I want you to understand that you have a direct line to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that you can have the same Holy Spirit that I have that is helping you understand the Scripture as it helps me understand the Scripture. And you may get something out of it that I didn't get out of it that I really just totally missed. Hallelujah. Y'all going to hear that word a lot. Y'all going to hear it so much that when Brother Ben comes back, he's going to be preaching, and y'all going to go, hallelujah, and he's going to stop. You're like, what happened when I was gone? But in the book of Daniel, let me set it up for you. You have four Jewish boys that are carried off into captivity. It's Daniel, it's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I don't know how Daniel got the easy name. The rest of them were rough, right? But there's four boys. They carried off into captivity in Babylon. Babylon is the power at the time. King Nebuchadnezzar is the king. He's the most powerful Babylonian king. And what he has done, he has taken the Jewish people, or boys more or less in this story, he gets the best looking, the healthiest ones, and the ones that are the smartest, and he brings them to Babylon, and they train them for 3 years. And what's going to happen is after that 3 years, he's going to pick the ones that he wants to be in his court to serve him. So you see what Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and I apologize if I call them by the wrong name because VeggieTales is great, it's wonderful, but if you ever get that stuck in your head, they don't call them by the right names. So if I go off on a VeggieTale tangent, just I'm talking about the same people, okay? But he's going to pick out of this group, not just this four boys, Jewish boys, there's a large group of boys. And they're going to be trained for 3 years. He's going to pick the healthiest, the nicest looking ones, and the most educated ones to be in his court. Now, if you read the story, that he does pick Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to be in his court. So they are chosen out of that group, and it's a big honor, even though they're in captivity, even though they're against the will to be there, it's an honor to be in the service of the king, and so they get to be influential in his life. They get to do things that can help. So you look in Daniel chapter 3, and you'll see the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Can I just say the three boys from now on? Okay, you'll see the story of the three boys, all right? And you'll see the fact that they followed our Lord, and they followed the law. They followed the commandments that were set down by God. Even though they were in captivity, even though they were in a foreign land, even though they were for a pagan king, they kept to the laws that were set to them by God. So when King Nebuchadnezzar built this huge golden monument, it said it's 60 cubits tall, big, right? And he's telling everybody that you're going to have to bow down and you're going to have to praise and worship this false idol. These three boys said, no, we will not do that. They got that from the Ten Commandments, right? You shall have no other God before me. You shall not worship false idols, right? So they're doing this. That's a hallelujah moment, right? It's hallelujah. They're not going to bow down to King Nebuchadnezzar and forsake the one and true God. So in this story, King Nebuchadnezzar gets really mad. He gets really angry at these three. He's put 3 years into their life. He's done all this stuff. And he's telling them, kneel, worship, sing praises to my idol. And they're saying, no, we will not. So he's getting mad. He's like, if you don't do this, I will throw you in the furnace. You will die. And I love what the three boys say. You can find this in chapter 3. It's going to be verse 28. And they said, I know that, I'm paraphrasing, but they said, I know that my God can save me. But even if he doesn't, it's going to be good. Isn't that great? That's a hallelujah moment, right? I know he can save us from this, but even if he doesn't, I know everything's going to be fine. We're not going to bow down and worship your false idol. I know that if he does not save us, we will be in his presence. So King Nebuchadnezzar was full of anger, and what does he do? He has the strongest soldiers he has to throw them in the furnace that was heated 7 times hotter. He wanted them not just dead. He wanted them cremated. He didn't want a thing left of them, right? But the guys that threw them in died. It was so hot. So they threw these three boys into the furnace. And then King Nebuchadnezzar looks, but he doesn't see three. He sees four. I love that. They've been reading. They've been reading. He sees four people walking around. He says to his advisors, he said, "Did we not throw three in there?" They go, "Yeah." But he says, "I see three boys in there, but I see another one who looks like God in there with him." That's a hallelujah moment, don't you think? Hey, that would be a hallelujah moment for me if I just got thrown in a furnace, and when I get into the furnace, God's there waiting on me. And instead of burning up, I'm walking around talking to God. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Because that is not what's supposed to have happened. So he hollers out and tells them to come out. And when they come out, you know what King Nebuchadnezzar does? He sends out a decree to all the Babylonian nation. That's basically the whole Middle East, the whole world at that time in the Middle East. He sends out a decree and he says that you are to praise the God of the three boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I told you I was going to do it. He sent out a proclamation saying that you, the people that are under me, are to praise their God. That's a big change. That's a hallelujah moment, right? That's hallelujah because they're praising the true God. What was happening before Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? They were going to praise a false idol. Hallelujah. The truth has been told. The people have seen the difference. And now they're going to be praising the one and only true God. Isn't that great? Now, does it take a moment like that to make you go hallelujah? I hope not. Because Daniel went through something. We're looking in chapter 6. And Daniel was the fourth boy, right? And now King Nebuchadnezzar's gone, and King Darius is in power. And Daniel is there, and he's telling Daniel, I'm going to put you over everything. Besides, you're not over me, but you're going to run my business, okay? That's what the king said. He liked Daniel so much. Daniel was so smart. Daniel had such great insight. Daniel was a godly man. And so he said, I'm going to put you in a great position of power. That made other people jealous. So they went to King Darius, and they said, hey, for 30 days, let's make a law that we can only bow down and worship you. Well, don't you know that just inflated his ego? Don't you know King Darius is like, hey, that's a pretty good idea. Everybody's going to be worshiping me. Forget about all these other gods. You're going to be worshiping me. But they threw something else in there was the fact that if they did not bow down and worship you, they'd be sentenced to death. We see they did that because they knew Daniel was a godly man. They knew what Daniel did on a daily basis. They knew that Daniel gave praises to God daily. He hallelujahed every day, right? They knew he would do that. So they passed the law, and sure enough, Daniel went and he prayed. He gave praises unto God. They saw it. They went back to King Darius and said, there's this man. He's not obeying the law. You need to do what you said you're going to do. You need to put him to death. Then they told him it was Daniel. So you know the story, right? Takes Daniel, throws him in the lion's den. He hopes that nothing happens. He says, I pray that your God saves you. So the next morning, he runs out there. He hollers out, Daniel, Daniel, Daniel. And Daniel answers. He goes, oh, thank God, your God has saved you from the lions. He goes, yes. He says, even before I got here, there's an angel that had locked the mouths of the lions. They never touched me, never did any harm to me. So they got Daniel out, threw the other guys in that tricked the king, right? And it says before they even hit the ground, their bones were broken. So they were hungry lions. You know the story that goes, oh, they were hungry, they already fed them, they were tame lions and all that stuff. They weren't tame for the other people. So when Daniel came out, guess what King Darius did? He sent out a proclamation to all of his people saying, we are to praise and we are to worship the God of Shadrach, the God of Daniel, the one true living God. We are to hallelujah. Isn't that great? You see how these moments go? You have these hallelujah moments. And I know you're sitting there and you're thinking, yeah, I've had some hallelujah moments. I stopped and I thought, well, praise God. And even the preaching was so good sometimes that I went, hallelujah. You know, I heard that growing up. I really did. I'm not saying anything about Corinth Baptist. I'm not saying. But growing up, I went to my home church was a Southern Baptist church, but there was a sister church. It was called Sandy Creek, and they were shouting Baptist. And they would scare you to death. They would. And hallelujah was tame for those people. But they also would jump pews. They would run up and down. They would scream. They would holler. And for like a 9-year-old, I'm scared. But I heard hallelujah more than I heard amen. And it's just one of those words that just flows off your tongue, right? So when we get up in the morning and we can breathe in air, we should have a hallelujah moment. When we step out of bed and not every muscle in your body is aching, just a few, we should have a hallelujah moment. When we get in a car and we make it safely to work, hallelujah. Right? We go to a job, hallelujah. We come home to a house, hallelujah. We come home to a family, hallelujah. We come home to food. We come home to comfort. We come home to air conditioner. Well, today we come home to heat. But we come home to all these things. All these should be hallelujah moments because we have those things. They should be hallelujah moments. But hallelujah should not be based on what you have or the way you feel. God deserves your praise. He deserves your praise. Not only did he create everything, but there is one verse that Baptists and everybody in the world uses a lot. It's John 3:16, and it is a hallelujah verse. If you want to say hallelujah, praise the Lord, this is a verse to do it to. Because God deserves your praise. He deserves your hallelujahs. And this one, we see why. Because it begins, it says, for God so loved the world. You stop right there. Hallelujah, right? Because the world is not the earth. The world is not the animals on the earth. The world is not the environment. The world is not this planet. The world is us. For God so loved you. For God so loved me. For God so loved us. Hallelujah. We can stop right there because he loves us. And it's to the point where he loves us before we were even here. I tell you what, if I had to give up one of my sons for one of you, and you haven't even been born yet, I don't know who you are, I don't know what you're going to do, I wouldn't do it. Would I give up one of my sons for a sinner such as I? No, I'm not worth it. And I tell you right now, people, we're not worth the blood of Jesus Christ. We're not. We're sinners. We're falling short of the glory of God. We are less, but he has made us more. Hallelujah. So when we look at it from that point of view, we can stop right there. For God so loved the world. He so loves us. He wants a relationship with us. He doesn't want us to be robots. He doesn't want us to do exactly everything that he knows that we can do. He wants us to have a relationship with him. He wants us to interact with him. He wants us to talk to him. He wants us to be with him. He so loved the world. Now, he didn't say he just so loved the Baptists. He didn't say he so just loves the Methodists. He didn't say he so loves the Catholics. That's not what he said. He said he loves everyone. Hallelujah. Because if he loves everyone, then we should love everyone. Because our God loved them first. So if we look at it from that point of view, he does love everyone. He doesn't want anyone to go to hell. He wants everyone to go to heaven. Do y'all realize that in the Bible, it actually gives dimensions of heaven? You don't believe it? Look it up. It's in there. See, I got people shaking their head. It gives dimensions of heaven. You know, the only thing that is growing is hell. You know why? Because God has already made room for all of his children. Every single one of them. It's our decision, our choice, whether or not we go there. The room's already there. The mansion's already there. Heaven's already there. It's already built. It is waiting for that. And there's plenty of room for all of us that has ever been or ever will be. But it's by our choice that hell is growing. So if you look at it from my point of view, hallelujah, I've already got a mansion. I may not have one here on earth. I don't need one. I don't need one in heaven, to be honest with you. I heard country preachers say, you know, I want a little cabin down by the river, as long as I'm in heaven. I've heard other people say, I don't even care if I have a house, as long as this, I'm close to God. You know, why do you need a mansion if you're in heaven? But you are. You're going to have all the things that you've, not everything that you've ever wanted. You're going to have more than you could ever think of because you're going to be in the presence of God. Hallelujah. So when you look at it from that point of view, for God so loved the world. Now that's amazing. That's amazing to me, but it goes even further than that. He so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. Question goes back. Would you give up one of yours for a sinner such as I? But he gave up his only son because he loves us so much that he knows that we are trapped in our sins, that we are not able, that what we can do, work that we can perform, sacrifices that we could give, praises to God that we could sing or say, all of that is not sufficient to cover our sins. But he did know of one, and that's his son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He says, I love the world so much that I will give my son to you that you will not have to perish, but you can have eternal life. Hallelujah. I mean, that should be a huge hallelujah because we have people on this earth right now that think that once they're dead, it's over. There's nothing else that's going to happen. This is it. This is all there is. I feel sorry for those people. If this is everything there is, and say that you live to be 120, that is nothing compared to your eternity. I mean, people, I am so saddened by the ones who say that there is nothing after this life, or the ones who say that there is something after this life, but it's another life like this. But you may not come back as yourself. You may come back as a cow, a cockroach. Oh, heaven forbid, a mouse. You'd be scared of yourself. You see what I'm talking about? For God so loved the world, he sent his only son, that whoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. We should be praising God for that. You know, we started out from the fact that he created you. Hallelujah. We should praise God because he created us. Hallelujah. We should be praising God for the hallelujah moments that we have daily in our lives. We should be praising God. And then on top of all of that, he has made and paved a way for us to spend all eternity with him, God, in heaven, in paradise. Hallelujah. Oh, no, y'all got to say hallelujah to that. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I tell you what, I don't have to worry about it. When I was younger, when I was actually 9 years old, I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior, and I knew without a shadow of a doubt that if I died right that moment, I would go to heaven. And still to this day, I ain't going to talk about how many years later, but I'm going to tell you, even still to this day, if you ask me where I'm going, I know exactly where I'm going. I'm going to heaven. That's because I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. You see, God says that I sent him so that you could come to me. It is the blood of Jesus Christ. It's his sacrifice on the cross. It's his death and resurrection is the reason why we can go to heaven one day. And if you want to tie all this back into Christmas, Jesus had to leave heaven. He had to leave his Father. He had to come down to this pile of dirt that we call earth. He had to be born in a very humble, humble way. Why was Jesus born in a humble way? Because there is not enough gold, there's not enough jewelry, there is not a big enough palace, there is not enough kings and royalty on this earth to do the birth of Jesus Christ justice. There is nothing that the earth could offer that would be good enough for the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So he came humbly into that manger, and he did it for you. Hallelujah. You do not have to die and be separated from God. Because of what Jesus Christ did for you, because he came to earth, because he was born of a virgin, because he lived a sinless life, because he walked and talked, and he did mighty miracles while he was here, and he grew in stature, and he grew in praise, and he grew to the point where he had a great ministry, and he had people that followed him, and he did all these miracles, and he was falsely accused, falsely tried, and falsely arrested, and then he was beaten. He was scourged. He was spat upon. He was called names, and he was nailed to a cross where he died. And on that same day, they placed him in a tomb, and 3 days later, hallelujah, the stone was rolled away. And he came out, and he was alive, and he walked amongst the men and women for 40 days, and they saw him, and other people saw him, and that was proof that he was alive. And then he ascended to heaven, where he sits right now at the right hand of the Father, interceding for you and I. And you know what that means? It means that when we go stand before God, and God goes, well, there's a sin in your life, and Jesus goes, I've already covered that. God goes, well, this is on judgment days. Well, this is in your life. I've already covered that, Jesus is going to say. Hallelujah. But to have that, you must have Jesus Christ in your life. And to have him in your life, the Bible says, if you would confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It doesn't say that you have to pray 5 times a day. It doesn't say that you have to do this or do that. It doesn't say all these things. It says that if you humble yourself, if you repent of your sin, and you truly believe that Jesus Christ is not only Savior, but Lord of your life, you shall be saved. And saved means forever. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, people, there's no greater Christmas gift than Jesus Christ. When you look at the baby in the manger, or you look at the empty tomb, he is the greatest gift ever. So when you have those hallelujah moments in your life, give thanks to God for all he's done for you. But how do you give thanks to someone you don't know? Today. Today is the day. If you want to receive the greatest Christmas gift ever, accept Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. If you want someone around you to be able to rejoice in the greatest Christmas gift ever, receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Don't wait another moment. Do it today.